and welcome to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, episode 13. I am here with the delightful Sally Mays. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Jeff.
You know, I'd be scared of episode 13 if it weren't for you, because you are very lucky for me.
I know. I think we're lucky for each other.
Oh, sweet. Now, if you don't know this, Sally and I feel very, very special. I have very special feelings for Sally because Sally presented my Broadway writing debut song so brilliantly. I was so lucky to have her as the conveyor of my debut. This was in Urban Cowboy. I wrote some songs for Urban Cowboy the musical, and Sally played Aunt Corrine.
And he got a Tony nomination.
I did.
You did?
I did. You should have.
Well, thank you.
You were so incredible in that role.
Thank you.
So y'all were doing the show at Coconut Grove, and they were kind of figuring out, we need some more original songs. Because Sally had this beautiful duet in the second act. What's that? It was a country song called...
It was Something That We Do.
Right, this really beautiful duet with Leo Burmester. Mm. And it was so good that they thought, we need to really establish her vocal, musically, so I got to write a song for you.
She did.
And I wrote one for Florida that was called Corrine's Commandments.
Which is fabulous, too.
Thank you. Well, I have I love that song, too, but I thought, once y'all closed down there, I was like, I can do better than that. And, you were such an inspiration. It was so great to be writing for someone and to be able to see your performance and to be able to get inspired by you and what you do.
It was
fantastic.
It was great. I loved it, having you write something for me.
Thanks.
You're so good.
Oh, thanks. Well, I want to talk about some of my favorite Sally Mays performances over the years.
Oh, my God.
Because I saw you, I think, in your Broadway debut.
Oh,
which
no.
was Welcome to the Club, but you were great. I had friends in that show, and I know that whole backstory.
Oh my God!
I just thought you gave such an incredible performance. Sally was a last minute replacement, and she just slid in, and that took advantage of your country thing too, didn't it?
It did. I had just quit smoking, and I was a little more zaftig,
Zaftig.
She zaftig.
Said, and we then, say so, so, zaftig.
All right, whatever. but I was ripe for Dolly Parton. I was totally ripe and right for Dolly Parton. And, they just were so great to me on that. And I had such a great time. I felt like I was doing Billy Dawn Goes to Hollywood. Or Goes to Nashville.
Right.
And it was it was just so much fun for me. And I was really sad that it didn't do better, even though I knew that it had a lot of problems, I seem to be destined to be in shows that have a lot of problems.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. We're knocking on wood. We're going poo poo poo.
Knocking, knocking, poo poo.
Was Closer Than Ever next?
Closer Than Ever was right next. I went into audition for Richard Maltby and David Shire the day after we closed Welcome to the Club, and we've been out all night drinking.
Obviously it didn't affect your audition.
Well, Richard said later, he said, I could just kind of see the panic in your eyes when you got to the high note, but you nailed it. and he offered me the job right after I sang for him, so I guess I did okay. But, that show, I just saw David, I did a concert with him on Sunday night, and we had the best time together. It's a wonderful, those two guys are the best at what they do, and that show... Oh, my God. What a wonderful show.
Yeah, and you had that incredible song, Miss Bird, which people must ask you to sing that all the time.
Follows me around everywhere.
Well, it was great. Oh, and the bass song. And you married. So she had this song. What's it called? Back on Bass?
Back on Bass.
And it was just Sally and the bass player.
Uh-huh.
And what happened?
Well, it's about, a girl who can't get her musician boyfriend to pay attention to her, basically. And I guess I got him to pay attention.
Oh, so, because they got married.
We've been married for almost 15 years.
Sweet.
It's
love
very
that.
Sweet. It's very sweet. We have a little boy. It's we're good.
Excellent. Then I think the next thing I saw you in was She Loves Me, which is such a beautiful
See, I've been so blessed.
Jewel.
I've had a great career.
You have.
I have that show was probably, I don't know, I've had a lot of great experiences in the theater, but... Golly gee, that ensemble. There just wasn't a better ensemble. I mean, we were just a cast. It was just this great group of people, and we loved working together, and everybody was so solid. And, you know, Boyd Gaines and I always used to laugh about the fact that we didn't have one, really didn't even have a scene together, but there was a whole three-act play going on between us up there, because that's the way he is as an actor, and it's the way I am as an actor. We just feed off of each other. And then we had Lee Wilcoff, and we had Jonathan. Louis Zorich, and Jonathan Freeman, and Howard McGillan, and oh my God. And then you had The Company, and The Company was amazing. Yeah. They were amazing, yes. And funny. And, you know, Robbie Marshall did the choreography, and Scott Ellis directed it, and oh my God, I'm sort of surprised it didn't win more Tonys, because it was really such a wonderful show. I think it was more about box office than it was about quality, but
yeah, and the Tonys are kind of about interesting things anyway. Yeah. There's no logic to it, but yeah. The production was really beautiful, and you could tell how much love there was there.
Yeah, it was so much joy to do that. You know what the acting challenge for that? You'll like this as an actor. The acting challenge for me on that was to fill the world, because I was on stage forever with no lines.
Mm.
But I had to be very present and very part of the world, mm-hmm. which is in a perfumery. And I was the cashier, and I was the person greeting people when they came in the door. And creating my inner life was like, it was the, you know, you talk about that with Stanislavski and stuff, and it's like, that was like the most challenging thing about the show, and it was also the best part of the show, because it made me feel fantastic to be able to accomplish that, to do that, you know.
Well.
And so I just loved it. Sorry, babble, babble, babble.
No, you obviously did a very good job, because you got one of those illogical Tony nominations, but in your case, it was logical.
Yeah. Oh, you're so funny.
No, well, you know what? I'm going to talk, we'll talk about your recording career after, but
okay.
I'm going to skip ahead to Urban Cowboy, because I want people to hear you sing this song.
Well, all right.
What did we miss any Broadway shows in there?
No. No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, let's get to the song. this was Sally's entrance in Urban Cowboy, and all you got to see. Well, what the story you know leading up to this is that Bud, this is the John Travolta character played on Broadway by the
beautiful Matt Cavanaugh.
Bud is her nephew, and he lives in the country, and he's coming to Houston to move in with his aunt and uncle, and he's supposed to show up, you know, the night before for dinner, and he just never shows. It turns out he goes to the bar, and he's in bed with these two sisters.
He's sinning.
Oh my gosh. So he just hasn't called at all. He hasn't let them know he's safe or alive. And Aunt Corrine, i.e. Sally Mays,
Waits up all night.
So
she's in her pajamas. It was the only show I've never been that comfortable in my life. All I had to do was mess up my hair and put on my pajamas and my robe and go sit in the chair.
Yeah.
And they brought me on, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, so she gets revolved on, and he's there, and he's like, hey, these my coveralls, where am I supposed to go for work?
And Corrine? He's like,
yeah.
And Corrine?
Yeah, why aren't you saying anything? That's not like you. And then she sings.
She lets him have it.
This, All Because of You, sung by Sally Mays. We interrupt this episode for a message from the emergency podcasting system. No, I'm kidding, it's just me. I forgot to say something when Sally was here. So that is that Sally's about to sing the song in the show key, which is a half step lower than the key that it is printed in the book. So what that means is, if you put the songbook in front of an accompanist and he or she plays the song, it will be a half step higher, which is it's like the smallest interval there can be, but it'll be a tiny bit higher than what you're about to hear. Okay, and now, for real, Sally Mays singing All Because of You.
Do you see my hair? Do you like what I've done with my hair, bud? You can't get this kind of hair unless you've been pulling it out all night. Well, I've been pulling and rubbing my eyes. Now they're all swollen. What a surprise. Pulling, rubbing, all because of you. Do you see my hands? They don't get much redder than this, bud. You can't get your hands this red unless you've been wringing them all night. Well, I've been wringing and doing chores, polishing silver, scrubbing floors, wringing, scrubbing, all because of you. Staying been up all night waiting on you. Gave me lots of time to think. Sitting, knitting, staring at the telephone. And of all those thoughts, the only one that gave me any peace was, thank the Lord, I never had kids of my own. Do you hear my voice? Can you hear these words I'm saying, bud? I wouldn't have to say these words if you had picked up a phone and called. But now I'm screaming, and I'm telling you, dear, one more strike and you're out of here. Try me, test me, I swear it's true. 'Cause that's the last night I'm pulling, rubbing, sitting, knitting, ringing, scrubbing, staying up through the night, all because of you. Get it, got it good. I swear it's true. Yes, that's the last night I'm pulling, rubbing, sitting, knitting, ringing, scrubbing, snacking, sweeping, pacing, fretting, screaming, weeping, praying, sweating, staying up through the night, all because of you.
I was saying. That was incredible. She didn't do that in the show. That was a surprise ending. That was great.
I was playing.
Oh my God, it's like you just did it yesterday.
Oh, it's, well, you know, it's my song.
It is your
song. It's my
song.
Oh. You don't forget your song, you know?
Yeah, obviously. Well, thank you so much for coming and singing it. That
was an honor and a privilege.
Oh, stop.
Oh, you stop.
So, Sally is an incredible recording artist, as you could probably tell from, well, even from the meager recording equipment here in my house. I think I might have your first album, which is the Dorothy Fields. And, you know, I think I've told you this before, but that she does this incredible arrangement of Just the Way You Look Tonight.
Yeah.
In three.
We wanted to make it a lullaby.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, Music Box is what we kind of thought.
Beautiful. Patrick Brady?
Thank you. Oh, Patrick Brady, my Patrick.
Does he do all your albums?
He didn't do the last two.
Okay.
But he's done all the other ones, and he's a genius.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to say, you have really good taste in song choice, too.
You know what? I try to do something different with every album. And what started to happen, you know, the first two were like compilations. The first one was, I chose lyricists because I thought that would be more interesting than choosing composers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose lyricists, and it gave me a lot more material to choose from, too, with Dorothy Fields, because she wrote with everybody. She wrote around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Comden and Green, you know, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really fantastic. But then we put together, because I think my strength as a performer is telling stories.
Yeah.
And so we put together an evening of story songs.
Those are really interesting.
And it was like we all of a sudden it wasn't just a bunch of songs. It was like a journey from beginning to middle to end, because we basically recorded a live act, you know. And we did it in a studio, but we recorded it live.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became a journey. So ever since then, I've kind of tried to take a journey. The Boys and Girls Like You and Me album is a journey from, it's all the different phases of a love affair.
Right.
And then this newest one, actually, though, is completely different, because this is from my mama. My mama said to me one day, she goes, Sally, you know, why do you always sing that crap nobody knows? Why don't you just sing something that I've heard? And I was like, okay. And so that became the criterion for the album. It had to be songs that she knew. And we snuck some in there that she was, you know, but
we taught them to her.
What?
We taught them to her.
We taught them to her. No, actually, no, I would call her and sing a little bit of it, and she knew it, you know, and then it went in. And so we got some really good stuff, you know, and it's a jazz album, basically, which is kind of my roots. You know, I grew up singing jazz.
Right, so. Well, Pete and Kaylee.
Oh my God, that show broke my heart, because it should have run forever. Of course, I don't think that George Dvorsky and I would have survived if it had run much longer.
That was a workout,
huh? Oh my God, 38 songs, high belt, every night, in Bob Mackey costumes, in high heels.
Yeah.
It was great, it was fun. And that cast recording is really good, because we orchestrated it. So that was, even though it wasn't really an orchestra, you know, in the show. But oh my God. Yeah, I've been so lucky. And I love recording. And I think that actually, I would rather be a recording artist than an actor. It's my favorite thing to do.
I totally understand. Like, being in a studio, like, just dealing with the mic.
My husband loves it when we're in the studio because it makes me very friendly.
What happens to you when you're in other environments?
Well, I'm friendly, but maybe not as friendly. There's something about the creative juice of being in the studio that just makes me nuts. I love it so much. It makes me really happy. And, you know, it's a place where I have control. You know, when you're in a show and you're working for somebody who has a vision and, you know, you do or you don't agree with his vision, but your job as the actor is to serve his vision.
Right.
And so that's harder because you don't have any control over what's cut or what's left in or what you're given or what you're not given and what you think you need. And when you're doing your own album, then you have complete control. And I love that so much.
Yes.
It's why I'm starting to direct a little bit too, and that's why I like that.
Oh, cool. What are you working on as a director?
Well, I just directed Tova Feldsha. She did a show called The Journey to Golda Meir, which was kind of a story about how she found Golda and how Golda found her.
Wow. You know,
and it's not the show, it's not Golda's Balcony, right, but it's just a show about how she found that in herself and you know, from her history and from her ancestors and from, you know, just everything. And it was really good. And we went over to London. Ooh. And we were in the Savoy Theater, which is that beautiful silver gilt theater, and we did a show there for the UJIA, and we raised £6 million.
Wow.
And she was phenomenal, and it was a great show, and I'm very proud of it. And so, you know, I love doing that. I love it.
Congratulations. Because
you have control then, too.
Yeah, so.
Do I sound like a control freak? I'm really not.
No, because aren't we all a little bit? I mean,
well, it's just so hard. It's so hard when you think you know better, and it's so hard, even if you don't think you know better, it's just so hard not to be able to have your stamp on something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and it is. I mean, theater, musical theater especially, is such a collaborative process. It's hard, you know, it's so everybody, you know, you always want to feel like your voice is heard in that collaboration.
Yeah, and sometimes you are, and sometimes they don't want to hear what you have to say.
It's true.
Even if you know what you're talking about. And so it's like, you just kind of have to feel your way along there and do what they tell you to, and it's okay, but it's just, it's not as much fun as when you're in a room with somebody and you're really like collaborating.
Yeah, adding to the pot.
Oh, yeah, and you feel like you're part of it, and you feel like you brought something to the show, mm-hmm. you know? And I love that so much.
Well, I just want to say you brought an incredible amount to Urban Cowboy.
Oh.
And, again, I'm so proud to have been associated with you on that show.
Somebody told me this, you will love this, is that, because they didn't much care for the show, but they came to see it and they said, after that number, that Jeff Blumenkrantz number, expectations were high.
Aww.
See, isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Yeah.
Well.
You're so good.
No, you.
Are you writing anything right now? See,
oh,
I'm interviewing
my God.
You now.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to have to answer that.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? I think we should close this out. Like, did you see how he like deflects
uh-huh.
the big question?
That was very good.
No, because I'm just thinking of, you know, my listenership and I want to thank you again for being here.
I'm so happy you asked me.
Singing my song again.
It was fun.
And best of luck with your directing and your recording.
Oh,
and
thanks.
Look forward to seeing you on Broadway again real soon.
Thanks, me too.
This is Jeff and Sally saying
Jeff and Sally.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.